Hi, and welcome to the Sustainable Socials Podcast. I'm AK Mulford.
And I'm Ann Kemp. We're here to help you grow your online community, develop holistic strategies for your brand, avoid social media burnout, and simply have more fun. Join us each week for a deep dive discussion into the world of social media and marketing mindset as a whole.
If you want even more social media and marketing support, join our community at patreon.com/sustainablesocials. Hello, welcome.
Well, hello. I feel so welcomed by
welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Thank you welcome, for welcoming Anne. Me. Oh, and welcome
thanks
to you.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And hello and welcome to all of our listeners. And thank you for being here too.
And guess what we're going to be talking about today as we welcome you to the podcast, everybody.
did we bury the lead?
We want to talk about how to make people feel welcome. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the topic today, because I think it's one of those things that we forget about. We forget that it's actually social. And part mm-hmm. of being social is like, okay, a key comes to my house, I'm not going to like open the door, walk out to the driveway and go, okay, so I have a book and I wrote this thing and I did it. No, hi, how are you? I'm going to hug you. I'm going to bring you in. We're going to make coffee. We're going to sit down. We're going to like screw around for a while and chit chat. And
yeah,
we'll make our way out to the yard where eventually we'll start talking about books, but you don't come in with your flag flying right away.
Yes. Or you're going to be like, oh my God, did you hear about this thing? Or like, look at this funny video.
Yes. Like, this is a little bit of me. Come here. I want to show you my
car. Actually share with friends. Yeah.
Yes, like here's the stuff that's going on. But yeah, it's like how to make people feel welcome, because we forget that. And I think that this is something that not only in social media, but in our newsletters and on our websites as well.
Yes. Newsletters, especially, I think that a lot of us feel like afraid to do more of the personal stuff or not sure what to share. And, but like endearing people to you, making them feel part of your community, making them talking to them like your friends, you know, is so much a part of like building a readership community, building, you know, those super fans. And for me, it's like the most joyful part of all of those things. Like my last newsletter, I think I was talking about how my birthday's right around Easter. And so as a kid, I always thought that like bunny rabbits and pastel colors were like a me thing.
You know? Like, oh my God, that's so
didn't associate the fact that it was like that. And so I said, you know, do any of you have holiday birthdays? You know, did you, you know, like were the fireworks on the 4th of July? Did you think it was for your birthday, or like are red and green your colors because you're around Christmas or whatever? And I got so many responses, and it was just really great hearing everybody's stories about like their birthdays. And I felt like I got to know them better.
Yeah.
And they got to know me better. And it was this really like, you know, it's one of those things that I think that they'll probably hang on to a lot more than like the pre-order that I had going on. You know what I mean?
Like it is.
Those are the things that make me like, I know this sounds strange, but makes me a real person to people. You know, I'm not just a business. I'm not just a sales machine. I'm a real human.
And showing your
people to know that, like, I want them to feel connected to me as, you know, Allie, and not just me as like AK Mulford, this abstract author, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's letting people know, like, you know, show I put George is on, like, featured in on my social media and in my newsletter. He and Charlie, our other dog, make it in the newsletters quite often. And I love sharing about them, because that brings up, I have found so many other dog lovers and authors and readers in my community that then's like,
yeah. And you know what's interesting is you can still do this even if you want to remain anonymous. You can do this even if you're faceless, even if you're doing just book flip videos or aesthetic videos, or like, you know, as having the TikTok read out the questions so that people don't hear your voice. Like, there's so many ways that you can do this, but really, like, all of our social platforms, we are the hosts of those spaces, you know? And I think we forget that sometimes, that we forget that there's a community of people who are watching our videos or seeing our posts. And we kind of treat them like kind of a shouting into the void, and we might catch a few each time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Always shooting for just the viral videos that will be like these kind of like sea of random egg-shaped profile faces and stuff. And we forget that there's real people who are watching those things who want to really connect with someone. And you can do that in so many ways. But I think that getting to know your community, asking them about that, sharing things about yourself, you know, even if it's just like, you know, I'm really into this TV show right now, or really, I read this book and I loved it. Or like, you know, what color do you associate with this genre? You know, like those yeah. sorts of things really endear people to you. Or asking questions about, you know, like, what do you think would be better? Do you like this or that? You know?
Yeah.
Wanting to know your audience and sharing a little bit about yourself makes people feel like, you know, they're a part of something, and then not just kind of like voyeurs, you know, they're yeah. like welcomed into your space.
They want to feel like they're able to add to the conversation. And I think about like, I feel like a lot of places this gets overlooked too, besides, you know, like in newsletters or websites, but also in Facebook groups, because a lot of folks have author groups and reader groups and communities they've started on Facebook. And I have been guilty of this myself, where I've got this reader group that then I'm like, oh, because I'm so busy doing all the things, like, oh, I'm going to pop back in and put something in there. And I feel horrible because I hadn't taken the time. This was a while back where I wasn't going in and asking questions. And I am trying to get better at getting into that group. And, you know, I want to talk to them about what they're watching on television. I want to know what they're reading and ask. And I think that's something that we have to do every, like, you have to think about it in everything that you're in. Mm-hmm. But also, like for me with my fan, if you're in my Facebook VIP readers group, I apologize first. I do come over there, but it's like, I am definitely way more active in other places, but that doesn't mean that I don't not think about those folks and want to show up when I go in there and start to plan something with them. And it's usually Sabrina, my PA, who she'll go, maybe we should do something, like, yes. And she'll help me figure out some graphics, like at Halloween. Do you like this or that? Where we talked about candy. And that was a great riveting conversation for chocolate lovers, because we have, I think we talked about Christmas cookies at the holidays. Like, there are certain things I think you can get into. Mm-hmm. And you have to take the temperature of the group that you're talking to as well, because again, it's welcoming. Like, who are the people that you're welcoming in? To have a conversation.
There's certain topics that I think almost everyone has an opinion on, mm-hmm. you know, and those are great kind of conversation starters. But even more than just the questions themselves, like whatever kind of content you're posting, like, are you engaging with people in the comments of those things? That's another huge part of the welcoming aspect. Because even, you know, if you're posting, let's say, like an aesthetic book trailer sort of video, it's not asking them to comment necessarily, but I'm sure you will have people commenting saying like, oh, this is beautiful, or I love this, or I'm excited about this, or whatever it may be. And if they're just saying that to kind of a blank page where nobody's replying to them, nobody's kind of engaging with them, nobody's telling them how excited they are to share the story with them, all of these things, that they're not going to keep commenting, you know, because they're not saying it to anyone at that point.
Yeah.
So even if you don't want to show your face, you can still be replying to comments and still be talking to people and making them feel welcome in that space. Because, you know, there's people on my TikTok that I talk to every day through the comments of my videos, you know. Even if it's just like leaving emojis, you know, we're
exactly
with each other every single day. And I feel like those are the people that I feel so much more connected to. They're the ones who say, like, if you write the phone book, I'll buy it, you know, versus the ones who you kind of are not as close with and not engaging with as much on my platforms that I don't, you know, I'm not as active on. Those people are kind of like, well, I might catch them with an intriguing post, but I'm never going to see them again because they're not going to keep coming back, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So that's that kind of like welcoming thing. And also, I feel like another important part of welcoming people into your space, and this is kind of like engagement 101, and this is very important, is that you need to make sure that you're including everyone in your conversations. So like all of your audience. So, you know, I make a lot of content that is about being an author that is very like authors will see and be like, oh my gosh, yes, me yeah. too. Yeah. But I'm always very conscious when I make that content that it will still be funny and relevant to someone who's never published a book in their life and just is a, you know, reader and coming into the space and seeing it, because yeah. my audience is both authors and readers. And I want all of the content that I make to be relevant to all of them. They all understand the joke. They all are in on it, you know? And I think that sometimes when we make content, we're not really sure who it's for. And we might be isolating a huge chunk of our audience. So that's just something that's important to remember as well, is like, if people need to ask several follow-up questions to understand what you're talking about, then you kind of failed at welcoming yeah. people into that space. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to look at your marketing and your comms. Have a think about your delivery.
Because yeah. If they don't understand you're talking about a book, if they don't understand that you're talking about being an author, if they don't understand, and you have to like have follow-up explanations. And I've definitely had that happen before where I thought I was being clear, but I might've got the like hook or copy or something a bit muddled. And then I had to explain myself. And I was like, this is a clear example of what not to do. You know, this was an yeah. engagement fail for me because people don't understand what I'm talking about. You know?
We all have learning moments.
Exactly. Yeah. So things like that, I think, are really important. And also, you know, making sure that people feel like encouraged to comment, to engage, to be there, that you appreciate them being there. You know, like that's, I think, part of the community building aspect, you know, is that I'm always trying to, there's like a handful of people who are always showing up. And those are the people that I'm kind of like the core people I'm making content for. And then I'm always welcoming more people into that, you know, so it expands from that kind of core group. So I think it's helpful when you're creating content like you would for a friend, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
even
yeah.
if it's a book flip video, like there's ones that you will probably make because your friend would go like, ooh, you know, like that looks awesome. Those are the things that I think are really important when you're creating content, is that people feel like they're involved, yes. you know?
Yeah. And I think like just being like, again, coming back to the welcoming too, is, you know, getting into the comments, and chatting with people. But even I think too, that if like I think about my newsletters and engaging with people that email you sometimes, but also being mindful of your energy, because there are going to be times that when you might have a video that takes off, and mm-hmm. yes, that there's going to be a lot of comments that are going to happen, and you might feel like you have to. No, like if it starts to take off, do what you can until your energy mm-hmm. runs out, and then just let it do its thing. But as yeah. far as that core, every day when you're posting and you've got people coming, like try to always have time set aside in that 24 hours after you post to go back and engage with folks. It's mm-hmm. always going to be rule of thumb, and not everybody can do this, but if you can hop on it as soon as possible with TikTok, we always say to wait at least an hour, because you just want to let the video get out there and start doing its magic before you come back and check on it. But check back after that hour or so and just start looking to engage with people that are commenting. But don't yeah. kill yourself if it starts to yeah. go. Be forgiven.
I think my method usually is I'll post a video and then I will reply to all of the comments however much long before, you know, but that happened overnight and things like that. Like I post a video in the morning. And so then I go through all of my things and reply to all the comments and stuff from overnight. And by the time I like refresh the page, that video is already has a few comments on it, and I'll reply to those and then turn it off and go away for, you know, a few hours, and then come back in the afternoon and reply to some more. But if it's a video that's taking off, usually like it's like the first day, the first few dozen that I reply to. And then if it's like an intriguing or new question, you know, or something that I haven't, you know, replied to or answered yet, then I will reply to those as well, so that people can find the answers in the comments. But if it's just like a bunch of people leaving emojis or things, you know, I won't engage at that point, because if it's you know, thousands of comments. It's just too many to keep up with. So, but I think being around, especially for like the videos that are more intimate with your kind of circle of people who always show up, you see a lot of creators will just reply to the first hour of comments and then kind of move on to the next thing. So it really depends. But seeing that you're active even on the first few dozen is really important to people. And also it might answer questions that will help you sell books too, you know, because some people might say like, where is this available? Does it have this? What's the spice level? Like all of those things. So if you can get in there and answer those questions, that might be the difference between you selling a book or not too. So.
Oh, and also, and this is like an advanced level tactic in a lot of ways. People ask you a question because I know for me after a while, and I forget this gym is part of TikTok because I get so tired of typing back text. Like, because I'm a very excited person. It's better. I'm much better one-on-one than I am in the comment section, but I want to get in there and be like, yeah, me too. And like convey my energy. Mm-hmm. But you can do that by doing a video reply. So if people are in your comments and you're just like, I don't have the energy, just hit that video and you can reply that way, get your information out for that person. And then it comes out, it's another video that's coming into your feed, but then it's also people are seeing it pop up. So it's just another chance for you to show up in front of people. And it's also welcoming because I do feel like whenever they're seeing our face or us in there, and if you're somebody that is doing it more anonymous and you're able to even just put a, you know, if you're doing it anonymously and you want to show your love back, I would almost say like, think about that scene in Love Actually when Grimes from Walking Dead is there with the signs and flipping the slide up about his love for Keira Knightley. And if you've never seen the movie, I ruined it for you and I'm sorry.
It's been out for like decades. At this point. Yeah.
Hugh Grant was quite young in that movie.
I think we're okay. But yeah, you can even have TikTok read out the text, you know, as replies and stuff. But I will say that if you're trying to build a community, if you're trying to like engage with people, having your face there is more effective at having people feel connected with you. It's why books with the author's photo on the back sell better than books without it. You know, it's like once they realize that it's a real person who wrote this book.
To know you. And a lot of it too, I almost feel like that's the same way, like for me, when people are commenting, because then I see that there are these people, because I'm like thinking like automatically as we're talking about this, I can think of 5 to 10 people on TikTok and Instagram that if I see them in my comment section, in my comments could be taking off, I'm going to see their names pop up. I am on them. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just like right there, like, hi, how are you? Thanks for being here, because they always show up and they're always there in some supportive way. And I always want to make sure I go to support them too, because they've, especially like three that I can think of right now that follow me, come like from the journey, that they always show up. And there are more than that, but you know, you've got those people that as their names pop up, you're like, oh, how are you? And how like that. You, they're a friend. They become, it's so self-media at that point. They're at the party, they're in your community. And yeah, it's
cool. Yeah, that's the difference between building super fans, you know? So it's like you can create a video where it's really endearing and it sells your books, which is awesome. And like that is very effective. And if that's your strategy, great. But if you want to have people who keep coming back, who keep buying everything you do, who every time you send anything out, new merch, new things, new patrons, whatever, they're there, they're showing up. Like those are the people who that face-to-face engagement is so valuable for. So it's like, you know, it's the difference between if your goal is building a community, building a readership, building a fandom, versus like having a viral video that will sell a lot of books. And then you have to kind of find a way to reach all those people again. You know,
exactly.
Like, and hope you can kind of capture that lightning in a bottle again. So it's like the tortoise and the hare sort of approaches there, you know?
And it is like the fandom of it. Cause I think that is, to me, that is like what I love about it. It's not just that the fandom, but it's about having those people there. Cause like, I want to do something where I'm going somewhere where I get to like tap into a community. Like, oh, I'm back in the States. Wouldn't it be great if I'm in X state, if I'm able to see so-and-so who I know, who I've met, and you can have coffee with them. And like, it's, or you just start building this community around yourself of people. And I've met authors and other folks in the same way. Like you just become, mm-hmm. there's just a, so, like it's the social of social media. You actually have to lean into it and think about how there comes again. Like, obviously there's something I'm supposed to be doing right now as well as like in the last podcast we recorded, you guys, because all of my keep happening.
But yes, I think, it's like both methods are valid, but it's just something important to be aware of. Cause I do see authors who don't have their face on and don't try and, do any sort of engaging, like the community getting to know. And it's more of the kind of like, consistently trying to post things to get people for those viral videos. Like that's awesome and it can sell a lot of books, but it usually doesn't lead to that kind of level of community that face-to-face does. So it's kind of like that trade-off because I think some aesthetic videos do really, really well and people can like sell a lot of books that way. But, for me, I find the videos that it's my face and I'm talking tend to sell a lot more of the like signed book plates and signed books, and people want to come to the signings and buy the merch and join your Patreon and like all of those things that kind of bolster you, and buy the books, of course, too. So it's like there's a lot more like diversity of income with a community of people that actually care about you and, want to support you.
Exactly.
Instead of just being like, ooh, that's a gorgeous cover and I want to buy it. So that's something that I'm always thinking about as well, is like how many different kind of streams of income I have coming in. Like that's a very indie way of thinking. And so having like, and also just wanting to provide good content for a community of people that I've built.
That is everything right there.
So, but I know a lot of people don't have the time or energy for that. They probably don't even want fans, like they don't want people. They just want to like write awesome books, put them out, market them, and then write the next book. In which case, like that kind of more engagement strategy of like book flips, aesthetic videos probably works better for them. Yeah. So we're not knocking either way.
Whatever's going to work for you and where you feel comfortable. And at the
either
time.
Way, you still need to make people feel welcomed onto your page. If you want them to follow you and stick around, you need to make people feel like they want to keep showing up.
And before we wrap this up, I'm actually going to make you tell us, you've got an event coming up in Australia soon where you could meet some people if they're listening face-to-face.
I do. It might even be out by then. Who knows? But I will be at Rare in Melbourne.
Melbourne. And when is that one?
It's the 19th to 23rd of April, 21st to 23rd of April. Yeah. In Melbourne.
There we go. So if you guys want to see AK Mulford and
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be really fun. Yes.
They'll be there.
Yeah. I'm excited.
And they'll make you feel welcome.
Yes. I'll make you feel welcome. You're always welcome with me.
Oh, well, that's what we've got. So that's, you guys, how to make people feel welcome. And if you have stumbled on a way yourself, or if you are automatically and organically making people feel welcome because that's just who you are, we'd love to hear about it in the comments in YouTube or wherever.
Or are there any pages that you follow, any accounts, any creators that make you feel really welcome, that you love turning up on their pages and interacting with them?
And we want to know about all from Facebook, like any of the social media platforms, newsletters, like what is it? Like what is it that makes you feel welcome? What is that thing? We want to know. We're nosy. That's it. That's us this week.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining us on the Sustainable Socials podcast. If you'd like even more social media and marketing support, mini coaching, one-on-one coaching, and a private online community, you can join us at patreon.com/sustainablesocials.
And we'll see you next time.